William Whiting, Chair of Rail Futures for the West Midlands, joins us now to update us on what is getting a lot of passengers upset. Welcome back to the mid-morning show, William.
Thank you very much.
I have to say, you're looking very tanned. Have you just come off holiday?
No, I have been to Paris with my wife for 8 days, and of course...
I see!
And we did all that by train, and then we went to Brittany.
Come closer to
me. Was that romantic?
It was very nice. Yeah, we had a great time.
That's why he's flushed, isn't it?
Well, you look very well on it, I have
to say.
Thank
you very much. Thank
What's your wife's name?
Rosemary.
Rosemary. I hope you had a lovely time, Rosemary. Before we go any further, we know a little bit about Rail Futures, but can you just tell us exactly what the organisation does?
Yes, we are, as you said, a rail campaigning organisation. We want better services throughout the country, and we want to actually increase people, the number of people who actually travel on our railways. That also includes any light tram system as well. So it's not just the main rail network, but light rail underground. But we really want to improve also the experience for the passenger.
Now, we mentioned that you're an independent organisation, not affiliated to any national rail network. So does that mean that you can hold them to account?
Yeah, it basically means that we can comment on things like the new... We can comment on things like the new franchises that are being that are going to be let in the next few years. For example, the London Midland franchise comes to an end in October 2017. And the Department of Transport has selected three new bidders. And we have, for example, commented on a consultation for which people could respond to by the end of March. And we have sent in a detailed submission. So that is the sort of thing, because we're independent, we're able to comment on independently of a politician.
Right. Well, let's hope they take some notice. Before we get going, can I just ask you, what do you think of the recently renovated Birmingham New Street station? Because now it's finished, it's open. Well, almost finished, I should say.
Yes. And personally, I think it is a great deal better than it was. The 1960s Birmingham New Street was tired and in need of improvement. The concourse was cramped.
Dirty.
And when I went to it, in fact, I went to it on the first day it opened, which was Sunday the 20th of September, I was quite staggered by the increase in space.
Yes.
Now, clearly, there are probably problems with signage, etc., which there always will be with a new station, but I think it is infinitely better, and it has brought Birmingham as a second city to London, as a really good gateway into the city. So I think overall it is a vast improvement.
Now, we are the second city, so we've got a lot of internationals coming in and out.
We do.
So we had to make sure that the concourse was big enough to take the influx of visitors. But is it also disable friendly? Because that's one of the things I always look out for. Is it disable friendly?
Yeah, generally I think it is disable friendly, because the older station didn't have enough lifts.
No, it didn't. It had one cranky lift.
Or it didn't actually have escalators down to every platform. So now there are lifts to every platform. There are escalators. So I think the disability issue has been met.
Good. That's one thing I always try to look out for. Because it's unless you're actually disabled, you don't actually notice. And it wasn't till I became disabled that I thought, I can't get through. I can't get in. I can't get up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I think unless you are disabled, you don't actually know whether the system can cater for you or not.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is a big problem.
And we don't want to alienate anybody not to travel because of a disability.
No, certainly not.
Now, the Department of Transport, in its infinite wisdom, has put a proposal forward to do away with toilets on trains here in the Midlands.
What?
William, what are they thinking? What are they thinking?
Yes, well, as an organisation, we have considered the potential proposal to remove toilets from trains. And in our submission to the consultation that I was referring to, which we had to be made at the end of March, we have clearly stated that we oppose removing toilets from existing trains. All trains should have toilets, with the possible exception of the Stourbridge Town Shuttle, which only goes a very short distance, and there are
that's understandable, Stourbridge Junction. Yeah.
And Stourbridge Town. But although many London Midland trains actually don't cover a vast distance in mileage, if you take, for example, Lichfield down to Longbridge and Redditch, it takes quite a long time, and therefore there is a need for toilets on all London Midland's existing services. So we would be opposed to removing toilets to free up any capacity
to provide more seats. When you think of the size of the toilet on a train, right, you'd probably get two extra seats in. How is that going to help the overcrowding?
No, it isn't. What is needed to resolve overcrowding is an actually increase in capacity.
Extra carriages.
Some of the extra carriages. So it might obviously provide a bit more standing room, but actual seats, no, I agree with you. It wouldn't provide a significant number of new seats.
The way that they're saying that, you know, to provide extra seats, they make it sound like we've got a whole row of toilets to take out, and they haven't. They've got one toilet to take out of every other carriage. And that's just going to create two extra seats.
The other thing I would say is that with a significant increase in the elderly population, with having an elderly population, that they often need to use the toilet more frequently than a younger person.
Not just the elderly, love, I do.
Not elderly.
I'm a woman of a certain age, William.
No, I'm just giving them as a category. One of the reasons I would oppose removing toilets, because I feel it is something that is an integral part of travelling by train. So we are opposed to the removal of toilets, with that one exception.
I just think it's very stupid. Now, 65.3 million journeys happen here in the Midlands each year. So does that mean that they're going to have to increase the stops just so people can use the facilities and the station if they were to take the toilets out? They would have to make extra stops.
Yes, well, of course, on some of the stations that there aren't any toilets in any event, and where there are, sometimes they will be locked up when the staff finish at 6 o'clock. So if the booking office is closed after 6 o'clock, generally you won't find a toilet actually open on the station. So that's another reason for retaining toilets on trains.
Oh, gosh, it's just so irate. I can get so irate. I mean, this isn't the only problem with the toilet issue on the trains. MP Anne Soubry has been stated as being irate about the state of the toilets on a recent journey from London to Birmingham. She wants things to change. So how likely do you think this will happen? Because she said that they were just in a disgusting state.
Yes, well, possibly one of the problems is that the coaching stock on services on London Midland are becoming increasingly aged, and the toilets often are the last priority where they're doing any type of refurbishment. So I agree that sometimes toilets on trains get blocked because the train is overcrowded. So once the toilet gets blocked, it just simply shuts down and no one can actually access the door, because that's how the system operates.
Why is it when you buy... surely everything is computerised now. So they must know that we've sold 560 tickets to go to London from Birmingham, blah, blah, blah. So why would you not think, well, we've sold 500 and odd tickets, there's probably be another 100 who's going to buy tickets on the day. We need this many carriages. Why wouldn't somebody actually sit down and think, instead of having 5 carriages, we're probably going to need 8 carriages?
Yes, well, to give the Virgin Trains their dues, they did actually increase the number of carriages on their Virgin services to Birmingham, Manchester and Glasgow. They increased about two-thirds of their trains from 9 to 11 coaches, and they were standard class, and I believe that they have downgraded one first class carriage on the 9 coach trains to standard class, but there are still a third of the trains which only have 9 carriages, so they didn't actually complete the whole job of all of their 53 Pendolino trains, as they're called, to 11 coaches. So that would have freed up more capacity. Mm. So it was a two-thirds done job, but it was not done in its entirety. So I agree that there will be certain periods in the day because you've got two less carriages still on 9 coach trains. You have a problem with capacity.
But why don't they see that though, William? Because if I've paid my season ticket, and goodness knows they're not cheap, I want to sit down. I don't want to stand up. I don't want to be sitting down in the corridor. I want to sit and relax and enjoy the journey. Why don't they see that? Because people are paying an awful lot of money for their season tickets, and they've been treated basically really badly.
Yeah, I mean, one of the problems with the design of the trains that they've got is that I particularly find that in the standard class on the Pendolino trains, when they're very full, you really feel very hemmed in because many of the seats haven't got tables. Mm. And you're just in airline type seats.
Yeah,
sometimes you don't have a window view.
Yeah.
And actually, I find that travelling by Chiltern Railways from Birmingham Moor Street to Marylebone is a far,
I have to say, I have
far
enjoyed that
nicer
journey.
Experience,
yeah.
Because
yes.
Most of the seats have, many of the seats have got tables.
Yeah.
They're better spaced out. They line up alongside a window. There's more luggage space. And the other thing about the Virgin Pendolino services is that the luggage space above the seats is very limited. So in the actual storage space is really sometimes quite appalling. And it's the whole design of the trains to cram as many people in as possible. So that means that seats are not aligned up with windows. You haven't got tables like you have on many other services, and that leads, when they're busy, to be feeling very crammed in and overcrowded.
Not good, not a good experience. Now, as you said earlier, the franchise is up in 2017 for Birmingham Midland due. Do you think London Midland will retain their franchise?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. One of the reasons is because I don't know. Nobody knows how the bidding process is actually done because it's commercially sensitive. And all I know is that 3 bidders have been selected so far. And
do we know who they are?
Yes, I've actually written them down. One actually is London Midland, who are part of a group called Govia. There's an MTR corporation. And there's West Midlands Trains Limited. So there are 3. Now, I don't know much about the other two. I only obviously know about London Midland. Mm. But what I'm saying is that I really don't know how the final bidder will be selected. And what will be taken into account of the vast consultation exercise that was done between January and March 2017, when Rail Future made its submission. So I don't know whether what will actually happen when the final bidder is selected and what they will be required to deliver, because we have stated certain things that we want to see in this new franchise, and I could give you some examples.
Please do, yeah.
Okay, so one is that we would want to see a much improved university station, which is the station that serves the QE Hospital and Birmingham University. At the moment, there is just one single entrance, which is grossly overcrowded and has not been improved at all since the QE expanded when Selly Oak Hospital was closed And also Birmingham University has expanded significantly. So now it's one of the largest footfall of passengers outside Birmingham New Street along the West Midlands network.
It's very busy.
And there are huge queues of people. The access is appalling. Okay. And we would want to see the operator, along with Birmingham City Council, improving the access to that station because of the Queen Elizabeth Hospital has vastly expanded, as has the university. So that's one thing we would like to see. The other thing we would like to see is that we want to see trains to the airport leaving Birmingham much earlier in the morning, because at the moment it's not possible to catch an early flight because there aren't early trains to Birmingham International from Birmingham New Street.
And we have all... Why was that never thought of?
It's an historic thing that has never been addressed. But we as a rail campaigning organisation, think there is an unmet market there.
Well, there is. I mean, please,
need to get to
planes leave early. You need to have a service that gets passengers there. There's no good saying we want more people to use public transport if you're not going to lay it on.
Yes, well, that leads to our other demand. Well, not demand as it were, but one of our other submission is that we consider that there are inadequate number of trains on Sundays. And on Sundays that the services do not provide enough frequency and enough coaches. And that's particularly so at times when you've got the Frankfurt market, when there are a huge number of people coming into Birmingham on a Sunday, because whether we like it or not, Sunday has become like any other day in the week.
Most certainly has.
It is a day when families come into Birmingham to do their retail shopping. And with the advent of the Grand Central Complex too, there are even more people coming into Birmingham on a Sunday, and we feel that services need to be improved significantly to cater for that market. Similarly, we want to see services on Boxing Day reinstated, because London Underground runs on Boxing Day. But really, apart from buses in the West Midlands, there are no train services on Boxing Day. And that is a day when people are travelling back. And also on a
so,
day...
So there's none at all on Boxing Day? Because I thought it was only Christmas Day.
No, there are no network rail trains on the network rail network outside London on Boxing Day.
But all the Boxing Day sales are on.
Well, yes, the Boxing Day sales are on. That is a day when masses of people are coming into Birmingham. The sales have started.
So why would you not have any services?
Well, that is something that we are pressing for this new franchise. Yeah. Whoever takes on the new franchise, we would want to see trains on Boxing Day, because, again, there is a demand for services. And as I said, actually, many people are travelling back from their families on Boxing Day. They're there for Christmas Day, but if you go on the motorway, you'll see that people are travelling back on Boxing Day. So the same must apply to the rail network. So the first day you can actually get a train in or out of Birmingham is the 27th of December.
Ridiculous.
Which to me seems to be rather crazy.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. William, if there's any of our listeners listening that want to become a member of Rail Futures, and I know you're always looking for new young blood, how do they get in touch with you and how can they join?
Right, well, we have a website, which is railfuture.org.uk, but also we are holding our branch annual general meeting on Saturday.
Oh, this Saturday?
Yeah, when we have two speakers, Christian Woolmar, who is a transport writer and broadcaster, and Nigel Harris, who is editor of a magazine called Rail. They're both coming free of charge, and they're speaking to us as part of our AGM at the Friends Meeting House in George Road Edgbaston, which is 6 minutes walk from Five Ways Station. So we will be very pleased to see.
So the Friends Meeting House,
George Road,
in George Road,
Edgbaston.
Okay.
And it's literally 5 to 6 minutes walk from Five Ways Station, and very close to Five Ways, where there are buses that pass nearby.
And what time does that start?
And that is at 2 o'clock this Saturday.
Okay. 2 p.m. Right, so if they get in touch with you at Rail Futures,
yes,
you can give them all the gen that they need to know and let them know. I suppose it's all on the website as well.
Yes, it's all on the website. But we obviously are keen to attract new members. Mm. We would be very happy to see anybody at our annual general meeting on Saturday, because we will be giving a report on our activities over the past year, which is including making this submission. And
therefore, ladies and gentlemen, please, if you've got anything you want to say, please go, because they always want to hear what you have to say.
Yes, we do.
And yeah, and what you want.
Yeah.
And then we can get all this put into practice, can't we? Yeah, we can try.
Yeah, we want to hear from the day-to-day passengers.
Yeah.
And we would love people to come and join us, because we feel that we are an organisation that is independent and does campaign for better rail, as I've indicated in my interview with you.
Just give that website out again.
Yeah, it's railfuture.org.uk.
Okie dokie. Well, what we'll do, William, as we did last time, we'll put all the details up on our Facebook page, Twitter, so people can just click on.
Thank you very much. More.
William, thank you so much for coming in to see us.
Thank you for
with your
having
very
me.
tanned self.
It's been great to speak to you, and I'm really grateful that you've taken the trouble to invite me. Thank you.
You
very
are
much.
Welcome. Thank you very much, William.
Broadcasting across the city on 98.7 FM. New Style Radio.